from the live stream studios in Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I'm Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We're joined on the live chat by Jamie Snowden and Alex Talish, along with the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere. So, Corey, why don't you go ahead and tell us what is on tap tonight?
Tonight, we're going to break down the big win over the Jets and look ahead at the matchup with the Lions. But right now, we are joined by none other than Packers beat writer and friend of the show, Mr. Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. How are you tonight, Tom?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. We're excited after that big win over the Jets, although Lord knows there were some harrowing moments. I got to ask you, Tom, you've been covering this team for a long time. After two games, is this a good team that just needs to kind of get out of its own way, or is this a mediocre to bad team that just got lucky against the Jets?
I think that jury is still out. I still think they're a very talented team. I think they got a number of impact players. They've got some depth on this team. They've got, a quarterback, a star quarterback, which is basically what you really need to get pretty far. And it'll always keep you right on the cusp of the playoffs. So I don't think this is a horrible team. I think they're going through a transition on defense, and I think they ran into a buzzsaw in Seattle. And I think we'll know more about them after this three-game stretch against the NFC North.
Right, yeah, all divisional opponents the next three games. Speaking of the defense, do you think, we talked about it a little bit last week, and I think we saw it kind of play out again against the Jets. Do you think there's a little too much specialization going on? Obviously, a lot's been made of the 4-3 that they've been running kind of sporadically, whether they should have run it in the preseason, etc. But I don't think it's just limited to the front. I think the secondary, there's lots of mixing and matching there. Is there too much specialization, not enough just beat the guy in front of you, or is this just another kind of evolution on the defensive side of the ball for the Packers?
Well, it's a long season, and what you see now isn't necessarily what you're going to see in week 13, 14. You don't know about injuries, how guys will play. I think at this point of the season, you have to play a lot of guys, or at least it's smart to do it, because at some point you're going to need one of these younger guys, or you might need both Casey Hayward and Devon House, who are seem to be rotating at the nickel position. You might need Quentin Dix and Micah Hyde. I think all of those things are fine. I don't have a problem with their philosophy of being athletic, with trying to really improve their pass rush and get after the quarterback with more athletic guys. I do think that they have to prove that this thing works, though. And we're seeing now they're going through growing pains. And I don't know if those pains are going to last all year, in which case they're growing pains. They're just a bad idea. And so I guess we'll find that out as the season plays out.
You mentioned injuries. Obviously, Andy Mulumba done for the year. Who do you see them? Do you see them right away? I guess Ted's, taken his time a couple times before replacing, an injured guy on the 53. Do you think they call someone up from the practice squad?
Yeah, I would be almost certain they would do that. Logically, you could say they would bring up Adrian Hubbard, since he plays outside linebacker, potential special teams player. But I think they're nuts if they don't bring up Chris Banjo. I think he can help replace what they're losing in Malumba on the special teams. Malumba's a really good special teams player, but Banjo was, you know, in a zone during training camp and preseason.
Yeah, he really was.
And I think there were several players who were very disappointed that he got cut. And I would guess that, let's just say, I would not be surprised if he's the guy they end up bringing up, because he could play right away on special teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean,
that's a good point.
He actually had, you know, almost a highlight reel in that final preseason game on special teams. So, yeah, that's a great point. Switching to the offensive side of the ball, I'm sorry. I know people have to ask about stuff, and I guess we're all looking for stories, but are you as, I guess I won't say sick of, but are you as circumspect about this whole Jordy Nelson possibly being overutilized or targeted too much storyline? I can't even wrap my head around this. Why is it a bad thing to have a guy who's producing at a high level?
Well, it's a bad thing if you have no one else to go to. If you're Sterling Sharp and
Sterling Sharp, right?
Yeah, and Sanjay Beach has 26. You know, then it's a problem. But I think as long as you make, you know, if you can make a team go out and double him, you know, say we're going to keep throwing it to him until you do that, so you pull away from covering, you know, from playing Eddie Lacy, you know, we're going to just keep throwing to him. And I don't think that's a terrible idea. I do think you can get in some bad habits that way. But Rodgers didn't seem to have any problem throwing to Devontae Adams when it really mattered down in the red zone. And, you know, he had Cobb twice for touchdowns. You know, I think that's a story that's, you know, people want to write, but it's not worth writing. unless it just becomes such a bad habit that, you know, Rodgers doesn't look towards anybody else. But I haven't seen that yet.
Sticking on the offensive side of the ball, obviously Brian Bulaga went in a limited fashion today at practice. You know, Mike says he wants to watch the tape. We'll see tomorrow how much he does on Thursday. I'm of the opinion, and I'm wondering your take here. It obviously, he's a step up from Derek Sherrod. We all know this. But I don't think it makes much of a difference if Bulaga's out there or Sherrod's out there on Sunday if they get in third and long. Because we've seen Bulaga struggle several times in that building, and now he's coming off an injury. Obviously, whoever's over there is going to be put on an island, is going to get in trouble unless Mike gives them help. Do you see them sliding that way? Do you see them kind of chipping with tight ends and backs, or do you think Mike sticks to his guns and just kind of, you know, keeps those guys out on islands?
Well, it's hard because, you know, you got a double and Dominican Sue. You can't let him rush right up the middle, and Fairley's pretty tough too. And you've got Iggy's Ansa on one side. I don't know. I don't think you can sit there and double someone all game long on the outside. At some point, your guy's got to sink or swim.
Right.
And I would say if Brian Bulaga could go out there on crutches, they should use them. You know, I don't think there's any evidence that Derek Sherrod is ready to play in that environment and survive.
And, totally.
You know what the Lions do to quarterbacks. So I don't think you want that to happen. I think you want Brian Bulaga under any circumstance possible, which is may very well been why they held him out last week, was, you know, they didn't want to risk this being, you know, instead of a 10-day or 14-day injury, it being, you know, 2 or 3 weeks.
Right. On the receivers, do you think Devontae Adams has passed Jarrett Boykin for good? I know Mike was effusive in his praise of Boykin in the preseason and in camp. It was surprising to me to see. I mean, obviously he had the drop in the red zone there, but it's surprising to see Adams suddenly thrust into that number three role so prominently.
I was not surprised at all. I thought, I was one of the few people who thought Boykin had a very, very pedestrian, if not weak, training camp. I thought he didn't do a thing, and I thought he dropped too many balls, and I didn't see a lot of separation. And you could see Adams coming on after about the maybe first or second week when he started to pick up the offense. You could just see the arc that he was on. And I'm absolutely not surprised at all, because he was really good in training camp, and everybody talked about how good his routes were. You know, he still has a lot to learn about reading defenses and such, but you know, I don't want to say I'm surprised it took this long. I really felt like this was going to happen at some point.
Well, you talk about the reading of the routes and the route running and what have you. Adams did a great job on that 97-yard drive, one of the biggest plays. You know, he runs that slant, and he runs it well for a big gain. So hopefully, you know, we'll see a little bit more of that this weekend and going forward. We're talking to Tom Silverstein from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Tom, you're a legend as always for joining us. I've just got one or two more here for you.
Okay.
Do you think Brandon Bostic can make much of a difference on Sunday? I mean, I think overall down the road, he probably can. I think we all know his athletic ability, what he can do, say to, you know, take it down the seam, what have you. But do you think he can help the offense this Sunday?
I don't know. I have my doubts. I think he's, I think it's going to take him a little while. You know, he missed a lot of padded work. And, you know, he played in, what, one preseason game and one series. So he had, what, maybe a couple of series the whole preseason. I would think he's going to play this week, but I also think that they may want to keep play Richard Rodgers and keep him in to help a little bit early on and to sort of establish the run game. So I agree with you that I think they need Brandon Bostic in the worst way. I think that's kind of been what's missing from their offense. And, you know, they don't have anyone splitting the seam, splitting the safeties. And they need someone like that. But I just don't – I don't have the feeling that it's going to be this week. I think he's going to gradually work his way back. That's my gut feeling.
Right. And finally – I know it's only Wednesday, but do you have a pick for Sunday?
You know, good question. I always have a feeling like right at the beginning of the week, and then as the week goes on, I tend to second guess it quite a bit.
I know.
So my pick at the beginning of the week was Detroit. I just felt like, you know, at home they are really good. I started considering, you know, Rodgers has a pretty good record in Detroit. And, you know, their last two losses were without him. So I don't know. I'll stick with my original pick. I think Detroit's going to, they're going to be frothing at the mouth. They're going to want this one bad. And you have to expect in the NFC North, winning on the road is going to be really tough.
It always is, especially when those teams know each other so well. Although it's interesting that, you know, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. I know Mike was asked about it today. So I agree. I think it's going to be tough. To me, it's going to be either a shootout, one of those 31-34 type games, or it's going to be a Lions blowout. That I just think I worry about about them winning up front on both sides of the line.
Yeah, that's always a big problem, you know, dealing with their front, and they can just shut down your offense. But if they're not, I agree, then it's a shootout. Then it's last team that has the ball.
All right, yep, I agree. And we'll see on Sunday. Tom, thank you so much for joining us. As always, you are an absolute legend. Thanks a lot. Guys, read his stuff, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Tom, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, anytime, you know that.
Awesome. Have a great week.
You too. Take care.
Tom Silverstein.
That's how we do it. Tom Silverstein.
One of the greatest guys.
Ever,
seriously.
Ever.
Seriously.
Ever. Not just on the beat. Not just like,
no,
you know,
when I covered ever. When I covered Super Bowl for Cheesehead TV,
yes,
XLB, him and Lori Nichol were two of the nicest people. Literally, it was like JS Online was like, oh, Cheesehead TV, you're an extension of us. And we sat with them and like, they're just great people.
Great people.
It's amazing. You know, I didn't think that. Like when you read his stuff, like you don't think like, and like sitting with him on the bus, like I'm literally sitting with Bedard on one side of me and Tom Silverstein, and we're going through the grassy knoll in this bus surrounded by helicopters. It was like insane. God. I'll never forget it.
Oh,
Tom dropping the knowledge, but we gotta stop for a second.
Uh-oh.
We gotta talk about our contest here.
We do.
We got our player cups.
Look at the player cups.
Come on. Somebody's gonna get this full set.
I have to admit though, I feel really weird saying player
cups. Just say player cups, Nagler.
Sounds weird.
Come on.
Oh wait, you gotta vamp for a second.
Oh, okay. So I want everybody to here's the contest. If you missed it in the beginning, let me see if I can actually play the tweet. Preview and then push. Okay, there we go. So you need to tweet out watch Packer Transplants on Cheesehead TV, sponsored by at Wisco Disco Beer right now, with hashtag Packers. Or if you're on Facebook, then the only thing you would change is instead of at Cheesehead TV and at Wisco Disco Beer, you would actually link to the pages themselves. So the Cheesehead TV page. And one thing we want to say is if you send us a picture with yourself with Wisco Disco Beer.
Say like this.
Okay. So, yes, that would work.
That would cost,
that will give you five times. Now, this is a full set, people. The only way you can get this set is to go to Quick Trip every 2 weeks or so and pay $2.99. So what do we have here? We have seven. Hey, we're saving you like $20.
What we do, man. We're a thrifty operation.
But even more, it's kind of like you have the whole set. And it's really nice. I don't want to give them away, but we don't have a choice. And, you know, maybe we'll get some viewership out of it.
So, you know, hit us up. Do it. Get on that social media and enter to win, people. That's how we roll.
So, right.
You ready for this?
I'm ready for all the nonsense? I'm about to be ready.
The greatest good, bad, and the ugly ever at Cheesehead TV.
I don't know about that.
Well, okay, maybe. Maybe not.
So we got the good. We got Jordy Nelson.
Setting a Packers record, people.
Mike Daniels.
With the swim move for the sack.
Aaron QB1 Rodgers.
Now, to be fair,
I would
to
do
Corey,
Tremont. Okay.
I had Tremont in there.
If I were in charge of this operation,
Aaron Rodgers in there. Only because I saw so many people saying, well, Rodgers had a rough game, kind of. You know, he wasn't great. Dude, look at the yardage. Look at the QB rating. Look at the tape. I mean, this is a really good defensive front. And you know, Rodgers and the offense, after a shaky start, they put it together. Rodgers directed them beautifully. The stuff he did at the line of scrimmage was amazing. He gets in the good.
And we got the bad. We got TJ Lang.
TJ Lang joining AJ Hawk and BJ Raji as members of the Packers who have blocked me on Twitter for their inclusion in the bad category.
Haha, Clinton Dix.
Second week in a row in the bad.
And Clay Matthews III.
Clay, stop with the screaming down the line, smashing down and letting all the misdirection stuff go the other way, dude.
And we got the ugly. We got McCarthy's challenge flag.
Oh, my God. Mike McCarthy, always good for a head scratcher in the challenge department. There we go. We got the good, bad, and the ugly out of the way. Corey's got that smile on his face. I mean, something's either gone wrong.
No.
Or he
nothing's gone wrong.
Going on.
Come on. This is Packer Transplant.
Oh, you little faith.
This is Packer Transplant.
What could possibly go wrong?
Here,
all right,
live.
so let's get some hardcore news here. Hardcore Packer news. Brian Bulaga limited again today in practice, much as he was last week. Mike McCarthy said he's going to watch the tape, look at him Thursday, see how he looks. And traditionally, tomorrow's the padded practice in the week. I don't know. I hear what Tom said about, you know, if, you know, you can put Bulaga out there on a crutch, you do it. And I guess I agree with that. But as I said before, Brian Bulaga, fully healthy, has at times looked pretty shaky in that building. So Brian Bulaga on one knee? Okay, fine. Moving on, we got the glute strain for Casey Hayward.
This is bad.
Not a hamstring this time.
This is not good.
Now we got the glute strain. So Mike McCarthy would not expound on it. Our friends Packer over at the Packer Ranter, their Twitter account, if you caught it today. I don't know if anyone's out there has seen Guardians of the Galaxy, but they had a great Guardians of the Galaxy reference tweet. If you haven't seen it, it's hilarious. Go look at their Twitter feed. And then finally, Micah Hyde. Coming off a knee injury against the Jets, says he's good to go. Set to be out there on Sunday. Now, we've had players in the past say they're no doubt they're going to play, and then they don't play. So it is up to the coaches. We'll see. But Micah Hyde says he's going to be good to go. So that's good for a secondary that's going to be facing Calvin Johnson, Golden Tate, Reggie Bush out of the backfield, et cetera, et cetera. And that's all the news that's fit to print, ladies and gentlemen. Time to get down to some nitty-gritty of the football. Talk about the offense.
Are we, we're waiting for my new segment.
Oh, is this time? Are we doing it now?
Or are we going to do that later?
No, let's do it now.
I can't remember what we did.
No, I think we should do it here.
So,
here. Brand new segment, ladies and gentlemen.
So
brand new segment.
We're going to try a brand new segment. Maybe if I can actually, oh, here we go. Okay. Then we're going to preview that. All right. So, new segment here at Cheesehead TV. I don't know what we're calling this yet, but, you know, we can call it game tweets. The game.
Game tweets. Like, the game.
The game was very funny, especially on Twitter.
Oh, my God.
I know a lot of you were on Twitter, and yeah.
And there was a lot of funny stuff going on, such as, because this is not in this segment this time around, so I'm going to talk about it right real quick because it was during the game. People, calm down on this is the worst Packers defense in the history of the team. Welcome, people.
Oh, yeah.
To the Packers.
And I didn't put that in here, yeah.
70s and 80s, they existed.
Well, yeah.
So,
and not
relax.
To mention, people have put Ray Rhodes season out of their head.
I know. Seriously.
They've completely,
right?
Like, forgotten about it.
Well, it's just relax.
All right, so we're going to start, of course, with one of my tweets because, you know, not as many, only diehards follow me. A lot of bandwagon fans follow Nagler.
It's so true.
So, this is a little game tweet. My favorite one. This was the touchdown, and these are my new favorite ways to tweet game stuff. I literally sit there and I don't pay any attention on Twitter until there's a touchdown or a turnover on downs.
Right.
It's my new favorite thing because if you pay too much attention,
you get
a little too emotional.
That's right.
You know. So you know we got this. That's kind of nice. But then we have Aaron Rodgers. What is this exactly? Someone explain this to me. Is this you're the hot read? Or as Jersey Al said, is this the smoke route?
I saw
this too, and I posted it,
now
and I was like,
okay.
What is that?
First of all, for anyone listening later on the podcast, we're sorry because we didn't even explain
it. It's a picture
of
Rodgers holding a joint.
It looks like Aaron Rodgers is smoking something. Now, this is not the first time he has done this.
No, it's not. It's not.
There is at least one other documented time of him making this gesture and doing this during at the line of scrimmage and giving it. Now, my hunch is this is a dummy call. Like, this doesn't mean anything. But it might.
Yeah, maybe it was.
Maybe it's something.
A protection call.
It could mean something. But I
like
it.
When he says, ready, ready.
You know, if I ever meet Aaron Rodgers, you know, and I haven't.
One day
I came
you'll
really
find
close
out what
twice
those are.
This last
I really
year,
want to know what those are.
But if I ever meet him, the first thing I'm going to ask him is, why 319, man?
Yeah.
And I know he's answered that
Blue
question.
Blue 58.
319. Why 319? It's kind of akin to, what's going on?
Then we're
going to
move on. It is kind of that. This is not that segment,
this
though. So this
is
classic right here.
I
for those of you
this.
On the podcast, this is a picture of a man with a Favre Jet jersey on, which, you know, this to me,
in and of itself is hilarious.
It's like the epitome of the game. It's like so sad. And it's so funny. I literally laughed for like 15 minutes after the game.
So
I showed it to Rachel and I was like, this is hilarious.
Isn't he Brett Favre Jets jersey all by himself? At Lambeau Field. Like, who are you? What is your life that this is you? That's all I want to know.
Yeah, who wears a Favre
jet jersey? What is your life?
Well, it's probably somebody from New York, because only someone from New York would wear that jersey.
I just, what, who?
Maybe it's
where,
not.
How?
So then we got to call out Mr. Tremont Williams, who arguably, whether you're watching... what did you say? PFF is
Pro
saying
Football
number
Focus
one.
Has him number one
okay.
in their ratings.
So Tremont is either the number one or the number two defensive back in the league right now.
Look me up, Richard Sherman.
I like that.
What's up?
I like that. Wait, where's Richard Sherman?
Not number one.
or number two. And then, you know, just because I got to point myself out and that Tremont knows I'm a fan.
Do it, man.
I got a little shout out from Tremont.
You got to read this one.
I was very happy.
Read it.
Corey, thank you. Thanks for the support, Corey. I know you've been down with little old me from the beginning. I appreciate you.
Come on now.
That's what Twitter and fans and, you know, with all the crap going on in
the
NFL.
That's right there.
That's the NFL for me.
Yep.
That's it.
Boom. Distilled.
And then I want to read something.
No.
So this is going to be our little new segment.
Okay, now this has nothing to do with the game, by the way. This is just Corey doing his thing.
Okay, so I like to read the Ask Vic Q&A just because I always find a little nugget. And so this is a Vic question. Do you believe Dante Adams will pass Jarrett Boykin on the depth chart during the first half of this season? His answer, Vic, I don't know, and that's not important to me. Because it's obvious the Packers didn't draft Adams in the second round to sit the bench. When you draft a guy that high, blah blah blah. So first, I'm going to tell you that your question is complete BS. And then I'm going to answer your question. What is that?
What that is to me, that's
garbage. So I read that and I put on Twitter. I said, you know, I need a name for a new segment on Packer Transplants. We'll be showcasing the weekly belittling from Vic Ketchman. And here are some responses we got, and I'm going to want some responses from you guys on Twitter. One of them from Jason Wilde himself, instead of Ask Vic, Bash Vic, liked it.
But, you know, it was pretty self.
Adam Check, Go Suck a Vic.
That's pretty good.
That's nice. I like it. And Ketchman, if you can, which I like too.
Not terrible.
Not terrible,
but we can do better.
We can definitely do better.
And by we mean you.
Yes. So, you know, tweet us. Let us know what segment you want for that Vic segment, and then we'll be good to go.
And every week, Corey is going to find something that pisses him off about Vic Ketchman.
It's actually very simple. It's really easy. Every week, I found something.
I know. Oh, I know. You tell me about it every week.
And, you know, before I was like, I thought that, you know, I love the Green Bay Packers, obviously.
Yes, clearly.
And I don't really want to make anybody at the Green Bay Packers angry. But I just feel like Vic Ketchman is a former Steelers fan who used to write for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I just think he's out of place. I just think he's a fish out of water, and his videos suck, his Q&As suck, and he belittles Packer fans. And according to Twitter, 20-1 Packer fans agree with me, at least the people that follow me.
Well, there was one who said you were entitled Packer fan?
I'm an entitled
something?
Whiny fan.
But
I wouldn't disagree
completely.
We're
all kind
completely.
Of entitled and whiny.
Yeah, I was like, I wouldn't disagree completely with that.
I mean, we've won three division titles in a row. We've got a Super Bowl in the last, 5 years? And, you know, there was 96 Super Bowl.
And
more championships than anyone else. So, we're a little entitled.
And we're fans of the greatest team in
ever
the world.
Ever in the history of pro sports. So, we're a little entitled. Sorry. It happens. So, there you go. That's Corey's new segment.
I mean, that's probably the most I've talked in the last 5 Packer transplants.
I think you're right.
I liked it.
I like it.
I like showing off graphics, Nagler.
It's clear you're passionate about it.
I'm very good. Well, I have no outlet. Twitter doesn't do it for me.
Now you have.
Now I have.
Now you have an outlet. It's good.
Some people will like it.
I love it.
Some people will leave.
We're probably down to like 3 viewers, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Let's get back to football.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Let's talk about the offense.
Yep.
Because I know you're a fan of offense and scoring points and what have you. After a shaky start, Derek Schrod, serviceable. I'm not going to say he was good. I'm not going to say he was bad. He was serviceable, but he was most definitely shaky early on. And we covered this a little bit with Tom, so I'm not going to belabor the point. But if he's out there on Sunday, you can bet there's going to be a whole lot of tight end help. And I think, you know, a lot of people have asked me about the lack of production from the tight end position, and I agree that they do miss Jermichael Finley from an athletic standpoint, a mismatch standpoint. But it's not for lack of trying. Or I'm sorry, it is exactly for a lack of trying to get the tight ends involved. I don't think Mike's trying to get the tight ends involved at all. I think specifically they are being asked to block. They are being asked to run, limited routes. And, you know, Aaron's looking for Jordy. He's looking for Randall Cobb. He's looking for Devontae Adams. They've got these wide receivers. They're going to use them. So, yeah, I'm not worried about the tight end position. They don't have a dynamic talent there. I think Richard Rodgers will be great one day, but, it's going to take a while. So, that said, you know, a lot of people asking about the running game, about what happened in regards to, you know, Eddie Lacy not getting on track early. And I was one of those people. I said in the gut reactions, I was, you cannot wait that long.
No.
To get Eddie Lacy involved. But then I read a really interesting quote from Randall Cobb, who I think it was for a larger piece that Lori Nichol ended up doing for the Journal Sentinel that appeared today. But on the blog post that she put up, Randall mentioned they were surprised. The Packers were surprised early on because they kept coming out in three and four wide receiver sets, and the Jets never switched. They never changed up their personnel. They stayed in base pretty much for a good part of the time, and that took the Packers by surprise because they expected them to match up nickel, dime, go out there. And in retrospect, it's not that surprising because they're secondary is terrible. I mean, it is bad. It is so thin. They have no talent. Past D. Milliner, who's barely adequate. So, and he was coming off an injury. So, you know, the reason there wasn't a whole lot of Eddie Lacy early is that Aaron saw them in base personnel. Mm-hmm. He's got those three wide receivers. Why belabor the point? Why run Eddie Lacy into, you know, the teeth of the beast when I've got these guys outside that should be able to win?
I liked that he was going after them too. It made sense.
Exactly. Like I said, it makes sense. You know,
you got to play the game you're handed.
Exactly. Don't force it.
Yep.
And so
he does a really good job at that when he wants to. That's why people consider him the best quarterback in the league.
That's one of the major reasons.
He has this innate ability to basically take what's handed to him.
Yep. Absolutely.
Which is kind of anti-Favre a little bit.
It is, although.
But then
there's
Favre,
a play in Seattle that drives me nuts where he's running to his right and then he sees Jordy deep and he just chucks it up. Yeah. And that's if he just waits a second, he's got somebody releasing up the right sideline for a touchdown. But we're not going to talk about that because it's in the past.
Yeah, I was about to say. That's already a loss.
All right, so here we go. Let's put this to bed, people. Just put it to bed. Jordy Nelson was asked at his locker today if he considers himself an elite receiver. And of course, Jordy Nelson is not going to answer that question. Of course, Jordy Nelson is going to say, I don't worry about that. I just do my job, yada, yada, yada. But since Jordy Nelson cannot say it, allow me to speak for him. Allow me to be the mouth of Sauron, if you will, for all you Lord of the Rings geeks out there.
You're the mouth of Sauron? I'm scared.
Yes, Jordy Nelson is an elite receiver. Not only is he elite, he's a top five receiver in this league. Do not mistake it. Jordy Nelson is damn good. And it's not just a product of the offense. It's not an idea of, because Eddie Lacy is drawing attention, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers played scared in week one. That doesn't mean that Jordy Nelson couldn't have done what Keenan Allen and company did in week two to Richard Sherman. So stop. Jordy Nelson, elite.
Just for that.
Do it, dude.
I can't do it here, dude. I'm going to toast the Jordy. There, that was a nice sound.
There you go.
Toast to Jordy Nelson being an elite wide receiver.
Salud, man. And if you're at home, swig him to God. You know what I'm saying?
Do it.
There you go. Jordy Nelson is an elite receiver. Okay, I'm glad we got that settled.
All right.
And we don't need to worry about the tight end. We can skip the tight end part because we already talked about it. Switching over to the defensive side of the ball. The scary part of the team. Let's just say, Corey mentioned it earlier in his segment, but I want to mention it again. Tremont Williams playing better than anyone else on the defensive side of the ball.
Yes, but a lot of that is because Morgan Burnett is playing better.
He is.
I really believe
he's,
that.
He's got
I
better
haven't
play
watched
behind
the
him.
Coach's there's, tape like you have, but I
there's
just...
There's no question that he's getting better support. There's no question about that.
And that, I think
Morgan
a lot
Burnett
of last
is still
year...
problematic.
But I think a lot of last year, a lot of people put Tremont's play on the fact that he didn't have the kind of support you have to have as a cornerback. If you don't have support as a cornerback, you can look like a fool a lot of times.
Many times. Especially... Yes, absolutely. Although I will say, the first half of last year, Tremont had his issues. The second half of last year, especially December and the playoff game, Tremont looked legit. I mean, he looked back to like 2010 level. And through two games, he's back, dudes. I mean, remember all summer, people were like, you know, oh, well, Sam Shields has been paid and Casey Hayward is going to be back and blah, 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 blah. Oh, and, you know, Tremont, if he plays like he did at the end of the year, he'll be okay. Well, he's not just playing like he played at the end of the year. He is playing lights out football. So I just want to make sure that that's kind of reinforced.
That's okay. As soon as he makes a mistake, Twitter
and
will blow
Twitter
up.
Will explode and everyone will go crazy.
And then I'll have to
whatever.
Defend him and then everybody will call me a homer. It's just how it goes.
He's the man.
It's fine.
Let's just say he's the
care.
Man.
I like him. I think he's awesome.
The 4-3. Let's talk a little bit about this 4-3 nonsense. All right. I say nonsense. It's not nonsense.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I think he's the best cornerback we've had since Craig Newsom.
Trying to go through the list, including Al Harris.
I think he's better than Al Harris.
Yeah, I'll say yes.
The reason I can say that, because I can't say that like play for play for play, but he's definitely had, because of the run
for Super Bowl run,
he had plenty of Al Harris, like the Seattle game,
big statement plays.
So he has that.
Yeah.
But like Al Harris, would you consider Al Harris a shutdown corner?
No.
Like,
of course not.
Al Harris like we treated Richard Sherman in the first game of the
all
season?
All anybody has to do is watch the NFC Championship game in 2007 to know that Al Harris is not a shutdown quarterback.
Exactly.
I didn't want to say it out loud, but there I said it out loud. Sorry.
But Craig Newsome was close to a shutdown corner.
He was close. He was never a true shutdown, but he was very good.
He was very good.
He was excellent corner. Anyway. Yeah, I'll ride with Tremont.
Anyway.
I'll ride.
Roll Tide.
Okay,
keep
fourth.
I mean, come on.
That's awesome.
Look, Eddie Lacy is our quarterback.
I didn't even know you knew what Roll Tide was.
I don't. That's like an Alabama statement, right?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Hey, Eddie Lacy, come on.
Roll Tide.
Let's do it.
Dude, I hear you.
I'm all about it.
That's awesome. Okay, yeah. 4-3, growing pains, to be expected. And to all of you out there who are, I guess, Monday morning coordinating about... You know, oh, well, they didn't run in the preseason, and that's why they're having all this trouble, and if they had just practiced it a little bit, just stop. Nothing they would have done in preseason with a 4-3 would have mattered. Because
no.
Let me tell you why. Because everything they saw in the preseason, and this is what happens every year, is vanilla as hell.
Yeah.
So, yes, they would have known how to defend the lead ISO out of the I formation. And that's a look that you probably won't see like 3 times all year, okay? Then go fast forward to the Seattle game, and everything, again, would be thrown off just much as what we saw. The Jets throw everything at them, yada, yada, yada. The Jets, who, by the way, this is a little tidbit that I just read about today, which I find hilarious. On the option play where, you know, Geno Smith runs to his left, and there's nobody there, and he runs like for 3 yards, and he's like, wait, I've got this really fast guy next to me. I'm going to pitch it to him. And then he runs for like 100 yards, like,
yes.
But he runs forever. The Jets had 10 people on the field on that play. The Packers were defending with 11 on 10 and still did up.
Don't tell me things like that.
The Jets had 10 players on the field, Corey. Oh, my God.
And by the way, everybody's reminding me on the chat.
Yeah.
Charles Woodson.
Yeah, but.
And I love Charles Woodson.
Defensive player of the year. I'll take that.
Defensive MVP when he was on our team.
Yeah, no, I get that.
And it is true that having him help Tremont be so lights out early on his career, right?
Yeah, well, definitely.
But now he don't got that. Now he's got Morgan Burnett and Ha Ha Clinton Dix backing him up.
That's true. And, you know, Charles Woodson is a Hall of Famer, so.
Yeah, I wish we still had Charles Woodson on our team. If we did, he'd probably have a pick already. Actually, that's where the second Geno Smith pick would have came from.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. It's sad.
Shields.
Sam Shields. All right. I saw today that Megatron / Calvin Johnson was talking about Sam Shields, talking about, you know, I think he was asked about Sam Shields because Shields has taken him. He took him last year in Detroit. Obviously, Calvin Johnson didn't play in the first game last year. But, you know, this is a total hunch, and I have no inside info. I have no idea. This is a total guess. But I will bet no money that Devon House...
What is the use, then?
Devon House will take Megatron some of the time on Sunday. Now, I don't, you know, again, it's a total gut feeling, but I think with House's play and the fact that he's playing outside so well, he's played really well over the course of these two games, especially against the Jets. And obviously the Jets don't have anyone close to Megatron. I'm not saying that. But with help over the top, he's a little taller. He's a little more muscular than Sam Shields. He's not as fast as Shields. And Shields has great ball skills. I understand all this. I just think the way House is ascending, and we've seen this before, and I'm not necessarily advocating this. I just think this is how Dom kind of thinks. He's going to see how well House has played up to this point, and he's going to say, you know what? I'm going to put House out there. I'm going to give him safety help over the top, and I'm going to let him bang with Calvin Johnson and see how the kid does. Because let's face it, you know, Sam Shields has held his own against Calvin Johnson, but Calvin Johnson's also just kind of had his way. I mean,
why wouldn't you just put Tremont on Calvin Johnson?
Because I think you want Tremont for Golden Tate.
Plus, you need Tremont in the slot sometimes when they do that.
And they have been doing that a little bit. Ben Fennell, who was going to write for us and then kind of never did, but may still someday, I don't know. Used to work for NFL Playbook, and now he's doing a bunch of stuff with a bunch of people.
Yeah, I saw his...
He was tweeting out some really interesting snapshots from the coach's film today, and he noted how much Tremont has been playing in the slot.
But that makes sense, because that's where Woodson would end up a lot of times, especially on slants and
especially
things.
Now that Casey Hayward's got injured again, you know, that's Hayward's specialty was in the slot. So it's very interesting how they're mixing it up. Like I said, House is playing really well outside, so maybe Calvin Johnson kicks outside, maybe House goes out there. I don't know.
I don't understand that. I always feel like, I don't know. I always feel like the box in one works the best. I know that's a basketball terminology,
but
it's like, I always feel like the times when we've done the best or when we put our best guy on their best guy and then everybody else like figures it out.
Yeah. It's
because then you at least don't lose their best guy, which has happened to us many, many, many times.
I just think it has to be. Here's my thing. I just think it has to be old school Randy Moss coverage. It's got to be a corner, whoever, like you're saying, your best guy, whoever you determine that to be, put him on Calvin Johnson and then have a safety wherever he goes. And I understand that that's going to leave you open to some stuff, but I don't care. I don't want Calvin Johnson beating us. If I'm a coach, that's what I'm thinking. Now, Dom apparently has other ideas. So, at least if you look at the tape last year. So, we'll see. I'm very interested to see what happens there. And then finally, Mike Daniels. Mike Daniels doing work. Remember Mike Daniels was on this here program a couple weeks ago.
He was
talking about the picture on his Twitter background.
Yep.
And we asked him about it and he said, that's the defense. You know, that's food. We got to go eat. The quarterback, ball carrier. That's food. We got to go eat. Mike Daniels was eating on Sunday.
That's the Cheesehead TV bump right there.
Right. But now.
It took a while.
Mike needs some help.
Yeah, he does.
So again, I ask. What's going on, Dayton? What's up, Josh Boyd? Mike Pennell. What's going on? That's all I'm saying. I mean, guy can't do it all by himself.
No, he can't.
And here's the other problem.
But he can if Mike Pennell takes up two guys. He can.
Yeah. Josh Boyd looks so much better at the end of last year. And I thought we were going to see kind of the next step. Let me tell you, that has not happened yet.
I also think, and I know he's considered a linebacker in this defense, but I also think Julius Peppers.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a little
bit. Ascending.
Let me tell you about this. And you know what?
He's
defensive line when they go 4-3. He puts his hand on the ground and he gets after the quarterback.
I know.
But let me say this. He's had two sacks taken away from him this year by ridiculous
And an interception.
But I tend to agree with Brady Papinga, the old Stormin' Mormon, who chimed in on Twitter on Sunday.
I hope he's better as a commentator than he was as a football player.
Hey, man. I love me some Brady Papinga. Come on.
Slow down.
Love me some Stormin' Mormon.
Slow down.
Anyway, but as he said on Twitter, and I totally agree with this, you know, they're overthinking it with Clay and Julius Peppers. Now, I think Rob Domofsky had a really good piece about Clay Matthews today, talking about their use of him and how, you know, when they go to the 4-3, sometimes he's dropping into the middle and he's playing off the line of scrimmage and he almost got to Geno Smith on the touchdown to Decker, et cetera, et cetera. But I tend to agree with Brady Papenga. I think they're kind of overthinking that. Just let Clay and Julius Peppers go. I thought the whole point was to allow offenses to have to pick their poison. Because right now, no one's getting doubled because no one has to be. Like, Julius Peppers is sometimes beating a one-on-one, but a lot of times Clay's out, like, he's dropping in coverage a whole bunch more this year, so far, through two games anyway. Just let him get after the quarterback. Now, and I'm not talking about first downs, obviously, because we've all seen his over-aggressiveness, the over-pursuit that has left them open to counters and sweeps and jet sweeps and what have you. But on third down, third and long, let him get after the quarterback. Yeah, get it done. Now Corey has directed me to our next segment. Some of you may have seen this on the website. Some of you may be going, what the heck is this? This is our brand new segment that we'll be playing every week. You'll see it on the site after the game. And now you're going to see it here tonight on Packer Transplants.
Welcome back to Mike's Best and Worst Week 2 edition in the 2014 NFL regular season. This week we'll go with the best from Mike McCarthy being his not going for it on fourth down early in the game, despite the crowd egging him on, despite all of us at home throwing things at our television. Mike stayed the course, believed in his team, kicked field goals, stayed steady, and I think that sent a real message to his team that he knew they were capable of coming back, which of course they eventually did. As for the worst, challenging the Eric Decker reception. Everyone with a pair of eyes knew that was a completion, except for Mike McCarthy and whoever is upstairs in Lambeau telling him maybe perhaps he should challenge that. And I have to throw a flag on the local media. Not one person asks Mike about that challenge. Seriously? All manner of how does it feel and what gritty kind of performance was this for your players type questions. Not one question about the unbelievable challenge flag from Mike McCarthy.
So there you have it. The brand new Mike's Best and Worst segment.
I like it.
Doing that every week. And you can find those videos on our YouTube channel.
And make sure to subscribe on our YouTube channel, by the way.
Make sure you subscribe on the YouTube channel.
Come on, people.
Come on.
Because we're going to have that, and we actually have some really cool new things coming up, including we're going to introduce a very new segment after our Lions preview.
Yeah, okay.
But we're going to have more videos all week, so we're going to have that. Mike's Best and Worst going to drop Monday. We're going to have a rookie report that drops Tuesday, and an as-yet-unknown video that's going to drop Wednesday. And then Blogosphere will drop Thursday. So it's like, it's videos. It's raining videos at Cheesehead TV.
So make sure you subscribe on the YouTube channel, Cheesehead TV. It ain't hard to find. Just put it in there. Hit the old subscribe button. Get on it, people. Make sure you don't miss any of them because they're going to be tons of fun. All right. Previewing this Lions game, Corey.
Let's do it.
We've kind of talked about a lot of this, but as I told Tom, as I told you, Corey, as I told Twitter, and Twitter's not very happy, I think this game is a shootout between these two teams, or it's a Lions blowout. I don't see the third possibility of, well, I guess the other two possibilities of either a Packers blowout or a low-scoring affair.
I don't and, see of course, of I happening. Completely disagree.
I'm just saying. As I
but
told
I'm
Tom,
a homer, so I think the Packers are going to win until the fourth quarter, and the clock's ticking down 10, 9, 8, 7, and then I finally get out of my denial, and I'm like, damn it. And that's it. I'm not like people. Other people, it's like the first quarter. If the Packers are doing bad,
that's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Yes, I agree.
Can we take people's Packer shareholders away from them? Like, can we do something? Can we please?
Oh, no.
I wish the Packers should block people.
Come on now.
I'm sorry.
Now, they're Packer fans. They're allowed to be negative. They're allowed to be pessimistic.
In the first quarter?
Yes. It's their God-given right. It is their Lombardi-given right. To be pessimistic. Lord knows
I'm
can
I'm fine
be.
With being pessimistic, but like wait. Okay, the game starts. Wait till the game, like wait till the third quarter. This game was a perfect example of that, right?
Totally.
Everybody's
agree.
Like, this is the worst. And then, oh, look, we won.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
It's a Christmas
It's four
miracle.
Quarters of a football game.
Unbelievable, Watson. So yes. Like I said, shootout or a Lions blowout. That's my summation.
Not.
Devon House should play a much bigger role. We've talked all about that. Now, the defensive line for the old Detroit Lions. We got Donkey Kong Sue, and yes, I will never call him anything but Donkey Kong Sue now that Cam Newton has made it permissible. I love it. Never once again in my life will I call him by his given name. He will always be Donkey Kong Sue.
He's actually apologized for
that. That's fine. Come at me, haters. Go watch the video of him stomping on Evan Dietrich Smith and then not apologizing or not even freaking acknowledging it. And then come talk to me about me calling him Donkey Kong Sue. He is Donkey Kong Sue for the rest of his life.
It is really funny how that whole Cam Newton press conference, how he clearly chose that statement as what he was going to answer.
And over
and then he apologizes for it. It's like, I've thought of this complete statement I'm going to give you, and then I'm going to apologize for it. That makes no sense.
Well, after they won. You know, if they lost, I don't think he would have said anything. But because they won, he could beat
me. It's ridiculous.
Anyway, so Donkey Kong Sue, he's going to be a problem. Nick Fairley on the injury report this week, by the way. I think he's slated to play, but that's worth noting.
Wait. Hold on. Packer backer.
Uh-oh. God, you know,
5677.
I'm trying to talk football.
He
here.
Says, Corey, you didn't give up 21-3. Come on. Nagler.
Oh, no.
Can you please answer this fool?
Okay, what's the Packer backer what?
I don't know. He's got numbers after his name.
Okay, dude. Do you not know? Have you? Is this your first time here? Have you been to our shop?
I do not.
Have you seen the T-shirt? Someone throw the T-shirt. Someone throw a link to the T-shirt. Up.
Look, I mean, I don't give up because I've been at Lambeau too many times when we've like looked like we were on the doormat.
Yeah.
The Detroit Lions. Robert Ferguson's best game of his entire career was against the Detroit Lions. And I don't exactly remember the score, but we were down at least 3-4 scores.
A whole
and
lot.
And we came back and we won.
Preach it.
So yes, until it's the fourth quarter and there's 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, we have a chance to win.
It's called a lot of ball game left. There's a reason we sell a T-shirt with a lot of ball game left on the shirt.
I can't handle this show anymore.
A lot of ball game left.
I'm not reading the chat from now on.
All right. That's probably, hey.
Talk about the special teams.
Yeah. Yeah, see? I can't go talk about the special teams now. You got me all riled up. It's 21-3. It's
who cares? It's 21-3 in the first half. Who cares?
You've got Aaron Rodgers. This reminds me of the Bears game last year. Week 17. Third quarter. I don't even remember what happened. And someone was like, oh, this game is over. It's the third quarter. You've got Aaron Rodgers. The game is not over.
No.
All right. We need to calm down. Let's talk about some special teams. All right, all I got to say about the special teams, they need to be at their best on Sunday. They cannot give bad field position, so Dwan Harris needs to make smart decisions coming out of the end zone. Punt returner, whoever it is, whether it's Micah Hyde or Randall Cobb or whoever, have to be very clean in their catches, and their decision-making has to be on point, letting the ball go over their head. If they think it's going to go in the end zone, don't try and field it inside the 10, etc. Also, coverage has to be on point. Don't give them stupid makeup yards. Hidden yardage is going to be a monster key to this game. Special teams has got to be on point. It's time for predictions.
Blogosphere.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right. It's the return of this week in the Packers blogosphere.
And with new graphics.
New graphics.
Very beautiful new graphics. Those. And we're going to actually give a little shout out.
Little bump. Little Cheesehead TV bump.
Amaya2311 Andres in Mexico City made those graphics. And he is making all of the new graphics for I Made Mike's Best and Worst. You can tell a huge difference between Mike's Best and Worst intro graphic, which I like. It's cute.
Good. It's nice.
Cute.
It's perfect.
But between that and when you see Rookie Report, we just saw it before the show started. It blew my mind. I was just like, that is insane. So I want to give a shout out. Follow this guy on Twitter. He's actually followed Cheesehead TV for a couple years,
a while.
Great guy, and is really into making these animations. And it's just going to help Packer fans.
And he's done a great job. And let me tell you, it's what Cheesehead TV is all about. This guy, this cat, Mexico, like, he's just like, yeah, man.
Transplant.
I do graphics. Oh, yeah. You want to do some graphics for us? Yeah, man. Packers fans everywhere. Doesn't matter. Heck, as we were talking about before the show, we got an email this week from Ghana. Wondering where Brian Caravu's been.
Yeah.
They're waiting for Brian Caravu to return, which, by the way, he will be back Friday morning from what I gather.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
I'm so happy Brian's coming back.
But they're waiting for Brian Caravu in Ghana. Who knew? So, anyway, this week in the Packers blogosphere, let's talk about the actual, item we wanted to talk about in the blogosphere, which is the Packers Talk Radio. People, go check this out.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Packers Talk Radio should put our show on there, by the way.
Yeah,
CD. Hello.
Yeah, CD's too big
but
for us now.
Packers Therapy, cool. I'm so happy. Packers Therapy has found a new home.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I wanted
Without Packers Therapy, there would be no Packer transplant.
This is the truth.
Now, the irony is that I couldn't stand Packers Therapy, which is why we started Packer Transplants, but I've grown to love those guys. I follow those guys on Twitter, like everything else. I didn't like Nagler when I met him.
Man, we hated each
then
other.
Now I love them. So it's like Packers Therapy is the same. It's great stuff. People just want Packers content all the time to listen to. It's great stuff. I'm very glad they found a home at Packers Talk Radio.
Just check it out. Everything on there is worth your time. Packers fans, you can't do better than that. Packers Therapy, so awesome. Finally, I'm not letting you get away, Corey. What's the prediction for Sunday?
24-0.
Jeez. Okay.
One day I'm going to be right, Nate.
You are. It's going to be a great
day.
And
then it's going to be my show.
Yeah, I hear it.
For
dude.
An hour.
I hear it, dude. I'm all in. Unfortunately, it won't be this week because.
You give the Lions. It's the Lions, dude.
I know.
And it's not Thanksgiving.
I know this.
They only play good on Thanksgiving because that's their playoff game.
Okay, my prediction is. Lions 34, Packers 31. I think the Packers lose.
I hate you.
I know you do. Sorry. We're going to end the show on a bang here.
I hate you. That's ridiculous.
I'm picking the Lions.
Sometimes,
can't help it.
Sometimes your reporter persona and your fan persona,
right.
They get mixed up. It's like mixed signals. You know?
Precaution.
Don't use my button against me, Nagler.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think you're pushing that button on yourself, bro.
Yeah, we'll see. On Sunday at about 4:30, we will know.
Yeah, we will know that the Packers won. We'll know that. We'll be 2-1.
I hope you're right.
2-1 is lots of fun, and that will be the name of the Packer Transplant Show.
I like it. All right, so, I got that out of our system. That'll do it for tonight's episode of Packer Transplants. Big thanks to our guest, Tom Silverstein from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And, of course, a monster thank you to all of you for showing up. You are the reason we do this. Pack fans, you are the absolute best. We cannot thank you enough for making us part of your daily Packer routine, both here at Cheesehead TV and on social, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, what have you. We're all Packer fans. We push and we shove, but we know we all love each other. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week. Go Pack Go.
Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out, any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?
Shh.